I was not given a theme to work with, but I took the liberty of choosing to speak on the salient sacred theme of Scripture, Jesus. It is a joy for me to be with you again. And I feel that, like the sister asked before she prayed, why did you come? That each of us has to have in our very being a reason for being. The fact that you are here, I don't think it's by chance. But if you believe so, that's all right. If you think it's by chance, that's all right. My only request is that you would make use of the opportunity being in the house of God, in the presence of God. Don't pay too much attention to me or my voice, but I will seek to keep you focused in the Word of God under the title, The Word Who Came. Thanks to my young brother who ably led in the reading of the scripture, I want us to read the passage again. I'm going to be reading. I want you to also read. And there's a reason for me to do this. I want each of us to get the opportunity to literally utilize each of our voices and hear ourselves echoing the Word of God. This is God's house, and you might wonder, he doesn't look that old, but he's going slow. Yes, I am racing, but this is my pace. I am going very fast. Don't worry. After I pray, you can start timing me. The sun sets about 6 o'clock now. It's getting a little bit longer these days. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, O house of Israel, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Jeremiah's chronicling of this encounter is supposed to bring us as a people called by God's name in view of what God finds important. Even if you're here by chance, this opportunity is an opportunity you need not miss. They claim to say I am some kind of a storyteller, so let me tell you one. There's a story about a young man who got to the good age where it's time for him to get married. He had acquired sufficient to be able to take care of a wife and family when that comes along. So he went to God. He grew up in the church and he was raised right from a good Seventh-day Adventist family, well-churched, well-behaved, well-schooled, has a good job. He's a good young man. He went to God and asked God for a wife. But he was very specific. Some of us are very barefaced in Jamaican terms, and we feel that we can even muscle God into doing what we want him to do, how we want him to do it. So this young man went to God and he said, God, let the wife that you're giving me be the beautiful young lady that first comes through the door early Sabbath morning. Notice he said early Sabbath morning. What time does church begin? I'm getting different times. So that means that we do not have a consensus here at Shalom when church begins. Because early for somebody will be too early for others if you have different times. You see where I'm going? It is important in the story. I am already preaching, don't worry. I want you to get this very quickly. You have to know what time church begins if you are going to keep the appointment in honor of your God. So if church begins at 9:15, there is a dishonor. You see, if church begins 9:15 and this young man asks God for the first beautiful young lady to come in and he comes 9:30, then he's missing the blessings that God would have had for him. Okay. We are together. So he was early for church, and to be on time, I did a little bit of work in security. And there's a discipline. To be on time is to be ahead of time. Because when you are to be on location, you can't be arriving. You have to already be stationed. No, this young man was ahead of time because he wanted to see the first beautiful damsel that would come in church. It so happens that the first young lady that came to church early that morning was one that was burnt as far as he could see, and he was disappointed. That's not God. Come on, God. You made Eve, and Adam was flabbergasted. He was thrown. He was actually floored. Bone of my bone. He was, come on, God. You can do better than that. So he went back to God and he said, God, I know you promised the desires of my heart, and I'm asking you for a godly, beautiful young lady. Form and figure, shape and everything, mother. Yes. But to show that she is, because he wants to know, strut his divineness to the divine God. So he says, okay, God, I want this female to be, he is trying to appeal to God that it's not just looks I want, God, I want character too. So let the beautiful young lady come in church, and old Miss May, who nobody seems to want to be chummy with, let her be the one that comes in church and sits beside old Miss May. Sabbath came again, and the same burnt young lady came to church, and she sat beside Miss May. Help me, Holy Ghost. The brother is not so. God, come on, God, you're not working with me. You know, beauty is a standard. So you can't miss that. You have made them. There is Rachel, there is Eve, there is, come on, God, they are the daughters of Jacob, of Job, rather. Please. Lord, let the beautiful young lady come to church and aid old Miss May and, share her Bible and help Miss May to find the song. And third Sabbath, the same burnt young lady comes to church, and where nobody else wants to sit beside old Miss May. Same young lady. And she's very attentive to Miss May's needs, holding the Bible for her and the hymnal. And The brother got tired because God's not changing course. He is the same God in the beginning, and he will be the same God in the end. Young people, I'm telling you that no matter how you interpret the promise of God, you might go to seminary and you learn exegesis and eisegesis, and no matter how you want to interpret it, God changeth not. Not for your will, not for mine. He is God all by himself, and he doesn't need your or my approval to be God. So the brother consented. Okay, Lord, since you only have one young lady, because everything I ask you is the same young lady, he decided, against his better judgment, to settle with what God is offering. Shortly after they got married, he got sick with a very rare illness, to the point where he needed bone marrow transplant. Now, the list for that is very long, and on top of that, you have to find a match. The Word Who Came is the title. The young man was so fortunate that in his obeying the choice God had for him, when they did the test, she was a match. Unknown to him is that she was also very wealthy. You see, she had lost her husband in a car accident. That's where she got burnt. And she didn't want anybody to be getting married to her because of the wealth that she had. So she didn't pay for her plastic surgery, which she could more than afford. She didn't do any of that, because she wanted somebody who would love and accept her for who she is. And she trusted God that God would have brought someone to her who would see her as God's divine will for them. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, I want you to do what you do. I don't know where this cough is coming from, but I want you, oh God, to do what you do. We have gathered to hear from you. So I ask one more time, if this is my last sermon, then make it come as clear as you speak it. Amen. Speak to me, through me to us. And please, Lord, draw your children to your side and save some souls for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read the text again, and I am asking you to permit me to read the word. I heard Elder this morning in Sabbath school saying, inviting us to read the word. Let me tell you this. Hollywood ain't got nothing on this. So for those of you who like romance, consult this. If you like trilogy, consult this. If you like action, consult this. If you like what they call it now, if you like detective series, investigations, consult this. If you like Law and Order, consult this. Whatever your choice is, I said Hollywood ain't got nothing on this. So Jeremiah 18, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. You're looking at me. You haven't gotten it yet. I understand. This 6 verses of scripture is a 20 sermon series. So let me get to one of the 20 sermons and help you get what God wants us to get. Why Jeremiah 18:1-6 was written. When there is trouble, the need arises for a fixer. You see, Jeremiah is in Jerusalem. He is a prophet of God. He's preaching, but the problem, the present day issue with the church of God, the Seventh-day Church of God, the Shalom Seventh-day Church of God, the children of God, is that the sermons are preached, but the lives don't match. The pastor, the preacher, the prophet Jeremiah has gotten to the place where he is broken, distraught. In the 18th chapter of 52 chapters, he's already floored, damaged beyond his own recognition. He no longer feels that ministry is making sense. Let me throw something in here. You will read your Bibles, and every single prophet inside here is credited with somebody baptized. Jeremiah don't have one. This is the condition of the church at the time Jeremiah is preaching. He had, I probably need to have done this. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Because in chapter 1, the word of Jeremiah, the son of Helkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. I want you to understand that this is not the first time God is turning up for Jeremiah. He literally called him. He established him. He blessed him. He set him out there. So you would think there should be some evidence of his call to ministry. Yes, I want to start there, because sometimes the job of the pastor is made hard by the members he has to lead. Let that sink a little bit. Because all of this 6th verse is dealing with the entire congregation, from pastor to the back pew. Jeremiah's condition necessitated God turning up again. The word who came, you had a good beginning. You know, I hear a lot of Seventh-day Adventist Christian members declare that if God had come the day when I was baptized, I am sure I would be in heaven. Don't say amen to that. Because that is a problem in today's church life. Because if you have not grown, I am agriculturally trained, you are stagnating, and stagnation stinks. You're dead, not dying. It's either we grow in the grace of Almighty God or know that we are residents in hell. There are no gray areas. Let me repeat what was said in Sabbath. You know, this sermon was done before I got to this week's lesson. So I did not know that what was dealt with in Sabbath school was going to match this sermon. So I didn't say much in Sabbath school this morning because I didn't want to start preaching too early. You understand what I am saying? God saved you.
God set you in the way.
For want of a better way to put it, we have hit a snag. We have stopped. We have become comfortable with that which we have known, forgetting that which we have been promised.
This is not your place. This is not where God expects us to reside. Yeah. He is the promise fulfilled. He got out of the grave and he ascended to a different place. Yes.
Not on earth here. Why are you so satisfied?
Yes. Jeremiah is confronted with a state that he cannot deal with, and it shattered the confidence he had received from God, that God is sending him and having empowered him to do God's will.
The church in its present state is responsible for destroying more pastors than the devil himself.
Today I came, Shalom, to make one point. Just one point.
I came to point out just one thing.
The word who came
got you. God's got you. He knows you and I down to the very number of hair on our bodies. Let me not just say our head. Because some of us have hairs on our arms, on our limbs. So every hair is numbered. God knows us before we were conceived in our mother's womb. My problem is this. Do we know the God that knows us? My problem is that I have to contend like Jeremiah, that it is not the result of my action that actually shows the divine response of God. It is my individual relationship to God, your individual relationship to God, that determines whether or not God is your success story. I am a little bit challenged. Let me go to... Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Just two verses. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that he built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, and to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Help me, Holy Ghost. In the 1980s, I was a boy running up and down. I would often go to Pentecostal churches, different variations of churches held on Sunday. We had many Seventh-day Adventist churches in and around where I grew up. There's a thing that marked Seventh-day Adventists then, that they were students of the book. They knew what was in the Bible. Notice I said they knew what was in the Bible. They didn't, like Sunday churchgoers, recite what pastor said. They knew what was in the Bible. Today we portray ourselves as sons and daughters of God, Christian Seventh-day Adventists, but there is little to no demarcation. Yes, yes, yes.
between us wearing the name of God and those warriors who are yet to make a decision for God. And I am confused because standing in the family of God, I ought to be just like the members of the family of God. If I am reflective of those who are outside the family of God, you have to understand there is a problem. The understanding that we must get is that not only am I damaging myself, I am killing others. Because those who never read the Bible is looking on you who is supposed to be the light for a world lost in darkness. Understand, if you will, that God has a plan and it will come to fruition with or without you. We are sons and daughters of God. But we have lost our status of Genesis chapter 2, 26 to 28. We have no longer the identity that God rested on us. The reality of Jeremiah chapter 18, 1 to 6 is that God wants to bring to our consciousness how he wants us to be. Amen. What he intends for us to be. Amen. The word who came. James chapter 2 and verse 19 cripples me. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But Seventh-day Adventist Christian believers don't give a damn about what the Bible says as it relates to what I want to do, how I want to live, and where I want to go. The devils are shaking in their boots, but the children of God are not impacted by the truth of God. I am devastated at the picture before me declaring Seventh-day Adventist Bible believing. Because I grew up in a very restricted household and I wasn't Seventh-day Adventist. As a young man, and I'm using words that all age can manage, I didn't know what women panties look like until I see them on the line. No, I didn't know. As a young boy growing up, I didn't know what women panties look like until they are hung on the line. I have sister and I have mother. Yeah, yes. And because we hang clothes outside, not like in America where you put them in a dryer. In Jamaica, we use the sun. Our electric bill don't need to be so high with a dryer, you see. We hang them outside. So, and you would pass in the communities and you would see clotheslines. Yes. But surprisingly, all of the fashions of the world are displayed inside the house of God. And so, even though in this America and other places in the world that they have dryers, clothes are not hung outside, we know exactly what your wardrobe is because it's on display in the house of God. There comes a time when mercy is gone and judgment comes. Because Jeremiah chapter 18, 1 to 6 is judgment hour. God is calling to books a people that has lived publicly dishonoring every word that had proceeded from the mouth of the prophet chronicled in the word of God. And despite knowing it, we treat it with scant to no regard. Micah chapter 6 and 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Don't say amen. Because if you do and you did not measure up to this, help me, Holy Ghost. The word who came. I am blessed to have had a few very good English language teachers. And for those of you who have listened to the reading of the word and have read in your Bibles, you're wondering, Pastor, it is not lettered that way in my Bible. I read it in the King James Version in your hearing. I read it in four other translations. It is not lettered the word who came. You see, this morning in Sabbath school, the statement was made that if you embellish truth with human things, you will actually distort truth. I read this passage, the first line, the first sentence, the first verse. And I cannot understand how God allowed Jeremiah to word it this way. But then because of the blessings of good English teachers, I kept reading because I needed to understand what God is saying. When I did comprehension in grade 3 with Miss Anderson, if you are failing comprehension, every test you fail, you're getting a beating. There is no way you fail comprehension. You can't make it in life if you can't comprehend. And Miss Anderson is not allowing you to discredit her teaching credentials. You must learn to read and comprehend. Our boy Lick Gwen be your friend. They don't beat children in this America. But I'm going to tell you this. Whatever you need to do to comprehend, you better do it, because you'll be lost in this society if you can't. So I read the verse several different times. I paid attention to every single word of consideration. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. They is the definite article. Yes, students, take out your books. I am not classified as a teacher, but because I didn't go to teacher's college. But as I said, I had good English teachers. The definite article they is used as an identifier of the noun. So the first word in the sentence is identifying the word. The word, it is taking the position that you understand the word, what that actually means in this sentence. Which came to Jeremiah. I had to look at this word translated which in the Hebrew to get what I'm going to tell you. The Hebrew word asha is the word translated which. Most of your Bibles will have which in there. I haven't seen one that has who.
And this is where you blame the human element added, because Asher is translated who? As the first definition of Asher. It is followed by which, that, when, where, and how. It is instructive that Asher, part of speech, particle of relation, connecting link, conjunction. Taking this into consideration, I want us to read the verse from the definition of the last word. The word who came to Jeremiah makes a total different story, because it is not a word, but a person who is actually coming to Jeremiah or came to Jeremiah. So, Shalom, permit me the canvases of your mind, the degraded state that the prophet had fallen to, is necessitating that the God of creation, the same God in Genesis chapter 1, that says, let us make man in our image, the Word. The word came and instructively back to the potter's house. Because if you missed it, Genesis chapter 1, 26 is actually the first example of the potter's house, where the master potter got intimately involved with the clay to form it as he sees fit. I know you didn't come today for English class, so let me wrap this up. Where is saying, when is saying, that is saying, these don't make any sense structurally nor linguistically. Things don't speak. Until you get into the highfalutin state where some persons who go to seminary get, where they are exegeting and eisegeting, so even the wall can talk, and sticks and stones and drums. Yes. But besides that, the English teacher will tell you, you need a noun, proper noun, to have voice. The at the beginning of the word is in its singular tense for a specific reason. Because it is the same individual. Sister White in the Spirit of Prophecy says that the person of the Godhead involved in the affairs of humanity is the same person that John speaks about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that same Word condescended and came down to be with. Understand this. God's got you. But there is a responsibility on your and my part that we need to understand. We cannot fail to live up to. In the English text and verbal communication, the word who is always used as a pronoun in all cases. The word who acts as a pronoun because it can take the place, the form of a noun. It can be used to ask question about which person, or it can also start the clause that provides additional details regarding someone, for example. You see, Jeremiah is writing to the children of God,
And he wants them to understand in the Hebrew, I'm taking you to the original, not as it is in your Bible. He wants them to understand in the language that they speak that you have deviated from the word of God, and God has come to reestablish a standard, to point out the way, to show you how you ought to live, how you ought to walk, how you ought to talk, how you ought to dress, and yes, how you ought to behave in the house of worship. The pagan practices that I see brought in, and I'm not apologizing to any of my leaders who are stewards over what is happening. And you know that this is happening because everything is on TV now. There is no place for that which is with the heathen to come into the house of God. No place. At no time, because God said it should not be so. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. When Jeremiah hit his worst, because he couldn't understand how he could preach so clear and the people could live so far from God, Jesus showed up. The word Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, showed up. Shalom, you have to understand that in this day, Jesus is showing up because we stand in need of salvation. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against this day where everything seems to have gone wrong. Parents are failing children because when the bills are due and the money is not in view, and after a while it shows up, you don't testify to them because that. Let me share this with you. My eldest, the elder of my two sons, he was about 2 years old. We were living on just my salary alone because my then wife chose to homeschool him because the money to pay nannies or daycare is more than her salary, and they do not offer the care that the mother would give to the child. It came to a point where I'm not sure if I should say was, because he eats everything. No, then he was lactose intolerant. And when I say everything, I mean within the blueprint. He was probably about two, and I was out of money. His cereal was finished. And I called him, I said, Joshua, you are, yes, Joshua, you have been a good boy, and you deserve your cereal, but daddy don't have money to buy your cereal. If I make porridge, would you drink it? And he said, yes. He didn't eat much of anything, but porridge and soup became his food that kept him alive. And you didn't have to share his porridge. Hot or cold, any kind of porridge, cornmeal, banana, rice, plantain, any porridge. I've said that to say this. The children are far more advanced than you give them credit for. And parents, stop telling lies that they don't or can't understand. Not even you believe that. So I don't know who you're telling that lie to. Because you talk about them in other cases, how bright they are, and they surprised you at what they were saying. You're liars. Stop telling lies on the children to hide your own inadequacies. Let the children know the situation that is at hand. They are living participants too. And you will find that they will not come to you to ask you for something that you told them you don't have, because they saw other children provided with it. You are literally setting up yourselves and crippling the children because you say they can't manage. No. They are way ahead of me and you. What they're learning in grade 6 now is what me and you learn in... What they're learning in grade 6 now is what me and you learn at college. I can't do some of these homework. I am not trying to do no homework with none of with my high school son, the younger of the two. I am not trying it, because I didn't study that. The understanding of Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, the word who came for a reason. You know, I learned this song some years ago. I am learning to lean. No, there are two of them. Be careful. Stick to the one that I am saying. Because learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus is different. There are two of them. I like both of them, by the way. But the essence of me mentioning that is for this. Seventh-day Adventists, Christians, or Christian Seventh-day Adventists, cannot truthfully sing that song in today's day. And that is why Jeremiah 18, 1 to 6 was written. If you read Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 23, it will highlight what I just said and what I have been saying since I stood up here. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stick, their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instructions. I need to wipe my eye for that one. Because Jesus turn up and telling us what to do, and we have become a stiff-necked people. Because what Jesus said, say, and is saying is not what I feel like. Is not what I want to do. Is not what my friends like to see me doing. We have discarded the word of God to suit man. I am finishing. I am finishing. I don't know why, because Jeremiah, I chose as my favorite prophet before I learned that no baptism was credited to him. In chapter 5 and verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and they might not hire me for this one. But let me say it. Where the leader lacks vision, the people perish. The church cannot rise higher spiritually than that of its leaders. The prophets prophesy falsely in Jerusalem, and the priests bear rule by their own means. They have deviated from the word of God to the destruction of the children of God. And I want to say to Shalom, it is not just on the priest and the prophet. Because each of you have a responsibility to your own personal relationship with God. Yes, they have not led us aright. But here is where the crescendo falls. And my people love to have it so. Help me, Holy Ghost. When the church members accept what they know to be wrong, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you are going into captivity. The city will be destroyed. You will die and go to a Christless grave because you fail to measure up to our responsibility to the word who came. Jesus came. He spoke. And we neglected the word who came. How do we make it to heaven when we know not the way? And we reject the Christ who from heaven came. Shalom, there is no time to play church. If you don't want this, go have party. Because if you don't do it God's way and you come to church, you're going to the same hell with those who didn't come to church. Stop wasting your God-given opportunity. When Jesus shows up, it's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to walk in the very footprints of our Savior. Other than that, this makes no sense. The word who came. Sickness is ravaging your body. But the great physician now is near. The children are wayward. The wife is not submissive. The husband is not taking care of his family. Is not sacrificing like the God he is supposed to represent sacrifices for the family. The word who came. The potter wants to put us back together again. Because not just the household of faith, but the prophet is broken. Not just the children of God, but the system is broken. The word who came. Jesus is speaking. Jesus came to tell us the will of his Father. For a reason. Jesus said, if you allow me, he will wipe away all your sorrows, all the tears from your eyes. He will heal your brokenheartedness. I want to, in closing, Micah 6 and verse 8. He had showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. Not of the organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Not of your pastor, Pastor Kevin Brown. Not of the president of your conference, division leaders or GC president, but of you. What God require of each and every one of us. Understand this. The state of the church today is your fault. Each of us as members need to realize the responsibility lies with us. Because if you heard the word of God, there is no reason to accept something different. Jesus spoke. So what does it matter what Pastor Lansley Blake says? What God require of you is that you hold true to the responsibility to honor the God of our salvation. Hear me, Shalom. It is over, or it is not over. No middle ground. Thank you, Elder. No middle ground. It's either you do it right, or you're not at all, because the other way is wrong. In 2004, I looked at the Milan catalog for spring. This was sometime in December. No. Yeah, it was sometime in December. And the spring catalog. Jamaica don't have winters, so don't worry about the seasons, what I'm saying. I looked at it. When I went to church, I think it was about the second or third Sabbath in January, I saw page 9 of the spring catalog for 2005 on display in church. Jamaica is a place where everything happens. It's not a real place. But I've said that to say this. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has become the same. Has become very ordinary. The standards no longer are held high. I am wondering if there's one person who wants to say, God, I have not always held true to the responsibility you gave me. And you want to lift your hands and you want to say, God, am I in the potter's house? You came to speak to Jeremiah so that you could speak to me. I want to do it your way. I want to give up everything and just rest with you. If that's you, then you're raising your hand. It is hard for me because I wasn't born a pastor. I didn't even grow up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I've made the statements too many times. The Adventist church I was on the outside looking into is a better picture than the one I am inside of today. Because what I left in the world to come to worship in the house of God is right here with me, is right here in front of me. And we like to blame the young people that we're doing it to win them. I want you to look around and tell me, how many of them do you have? How many have you won? We have been doing this progressively for years now. It is not bearing fruit. We're seeing the effects of our divisiveness, of our disobedience, of our unwillingness to walk with God. We have lost them It's not that we are losing them. We have lost them. The church is missing a generation. And we sit down here pious, holy in our thoughts, but far from the God of our salvation. I'm going to ask you to stand, but don't stand because I'm asking you. Stand because you see the need to respond like Jeremiah had to respond to the word who came. The only one that can fix this. All of your problems is fixed in one simple act. Your obedience to the word who came. I came to speak primarily to the church of God. But peradventure you are in the hearing of my voice. You didn't yet give your life to God. I want you to understand that your only way out is to obey the word of God. Allow him to rectify what has gone wrong. The wrong that you call your life doesn't have to be that way, because the potter wants to put you back together again. That's the reason he came, because Jerusalem was in a state of destruction to the point the prophet couldn't believe it, that these are still God's people. If you're that person, you want to lift your hand, you want to walk out, you want to kneel down if there are those online, then you do that. If you're in the house today, you're already a member, even a Sabbath school member. You want to lift your hand and you want to say, Lord, I want you to fix it. Fix it that you can present me to your Father. With your heads bowed, you don't need to look for anybody and going up. Your hand is your responsibility. Your decision. Heaven takes record. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Thank you, Jesus, for having come. Thank you, Savior, for restoring the life that has been broken down. Thank you, Lord, for the provisions, the security that you provide. The hands raised, the hearts humbled, the soul penitent in obedience to you. Draw me nearer, O God, to your wounded side. Wash me, cleanse us this morning, this afternoon. Save us, O God, save your people. Christ, save your bride. For as Jeremiah saw, it is the state of your church, and we stand in need of you. We'll be mindful to say thanks, to shout your praise as you secure our eternal future. In Jesus' name, amen.